The IRA, the Troubles, Ulster, perhaps distant memories of the violence in Northern Ireland for us, but not in the UK, especially when a former commander of the Irish Republican Army dies. That's the news we got today about Martin McGuinness, the former Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland and one-time IRA commander. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll speak with a Belfast journalist about McGuinness's life and legacy. Before that, though, some reaction to his death. The first comes from Colin Parry. Parry's 12-year-old son, Tim, died in an IRA bombing in the northwest of England in 1993. Colin Parry later met McGuinness face-to-face. That was when McGuinness was serving as Deputy First Minister. Parry had this to say about today's news.
I don't forgive Martin. I don't forgive the IRA, nor does my wife, nor do my children. But setting aside forgiveness, the simple fact is I found Martin McGuinness an easy and pleasant man to talk to, a man who I believe was sincere in his desire for peace and maintaining the peace process at all costs. And I think he deserves great credit for his most recent life rather more than his earlier life, for which I don't think anything in his most recent life can atone. That said, he was still a brave man who put himself at some risk within some elements of his own community in Northern Ireland.
And then there was this reaction from former British Cabinet Minister Norman Tebbit. His wife Margaret was paralyzed when the IRA bombed a hotel in Brighton in 1984. Today, Tebbit said Martin McGuinness was not truly a peacemaker.
He had a significant role because of his cowardice. He knew that the IRA had been penetrated to its highest levels, and that before long, he would have been arrested and charged with some of the many murders which he personally committed. And so he opted for the coward's way out and said, "Oh, I'm a man of peace."
Reaction there to the death of Martin McGuinness from people whose families and lives were directly affected by IRA violence. Malachy O'Doherty is a Belfast journalist who has written extensively about the Troubles and the peace process. Malachy, I mean, just remind us Americans, many of whom have put the Troubles in a box called history, who Martin McGuinness was and why he was so important to Northern Ireland's peace process.
Martin McGuinness was one of the young commanders of the Provisional IRA from an early age. The Provisional IRA was the Irish Republican Army, which in plain terms that we kind of try to avoid, but it was a terrorist. He was the leader of an organization which carried out assassinations, which murdered police officers and soldiers, which bombed commercial targets in Northern Ireland, killing many, many civilians. So he was until the 1990s, he was an arch terrorist, you know, to speak in the language of the times.
Yeah.
He was also, though he was a leader of a terrorist organization demanding British removal from Ireland and United Ireland, he was also a political mind within that organization, recognized as such by the British. So the British government, for instance, brought Martin McGuinness, Gerry Adams, and a group of others to London for political talks as early as 1972, when he was only 21 years old. He was a representative of the IRA, meeting a British government minister and trying to sound out whether there were terms available on which an IRA campaign could be brought to an end. So he was a soldier and he was a diplomat almost from the very beginning, even as a kid.
And in the end, he decided to lead the IRA away from the use of violence. What changed him? What changed his mind?
I don't know what changed his mind. I think there were a number of things in play at the start of the peace process. One of the big things in play was that the Irish government and the government of the United States, Bill Clinton, and forces and voices in South Africa as well, these international voices were ready to authenticate any deal that might be made with the British. They were ready to encourage negotiation, authenticate negotiation, and speak to the good name of people like Martin McGuinness in those negotiations. So once you had established an international platform in which there might be political negotiations supported by Bill Clinton, then you had a context within which the bona fides of everybody at the table were assured and the deal could be made. Now, the deal that was made was an absolute reversal of the Republican convictions that Martin McGuinness had represented to that point, because the argument of the IRA was you cannot reform the British part of Ireland. You cannot make a political system in there which will justify the partition of Ireland. And he changed his mind about that. He went for a reformed Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is the northeast six counties of the island of Ireland, with a pro-British majority living there and united to Britain as part of the United Kingdom. And essentially, Martin McGuinness changed his mind about his total rejection of that arrangement and chose to work within it.
Maliki, what was McGuinness like as a person, and how key was his personality to getting peace to happen?
Well, as a personal, if I did some work in Derry with the police there, and they said, you know, if you stopped McGuinness in his car and got him out of his car and searched the car, he was steely. He was unnerving. He could look at you. You knew to look at him that he was a killer. That is the kind of thing the police would say about him. You know, their nickname for him was Art Garfunkel because of his curly hair. At one time, the police were organizing an event in a local primary school for children on road safety, and McGuinness stormed into the school and took his own child out of the school because he wouldn't allow his child to be in the same room as the police.
Sounds kind of prickly as a person.
Fanatical, and absolutely fanatical. And yet the later Martin McGuinness that you see is, you know, was so genial. He was almost childlike. There was something... there was something like the big kid about him, you know. He really believed that he had that he was at the center of something that was almost like a spiritual transformation in Northern Ireland. You know, he really believed that something like that was happening. I can tell you stories about that. I remember on one occasion he had been at the Harbour Commissioner's office in Belfast. It was an event launching the Ireland Chair of Poetry, and he made a speech at which he read one of his own poems, and he said from the platform, you know, here we are in this beautiful Victorian building, and I was here just 2 weeks ago with Meryl Streep, because Meryl Streep had been in Belfast for something and he'd been involved with that, and he was really, really pleased to be in such an environment. And afterwards, I caught his eye in the crowd when we were all mingling, having a glass of wine, and I went over to him and I teased him. I says, Martin, you must be really pleased you didn't blow this place up. And he was furious. He was furious. And he said, do you never move beyond this? You know, can you not move beyond this? Because in his mind, the past was the past. It was entirely over and done with. Something new and lovely was happening. And we should all be with the program and accept that this new wonderful era had entered.
Journalist Maliki O'Doherty speaking with us from Belfast about the late Martin McGuinness. Thank you very much, Maliki.
And thank you. A pleasure talking to you.